Hall of Fame football coach Eddie Robinson of Grambling, quote, "Everything I've done, I've dreamed it first." Hall of Fame coach Bear Bryant, University of Alabama, "Show class, have pride, and display character. If you do, winning takes care of itself." Someday, Nick Saban will be elected into the Hall of Fame. Quote, "Trust the process." Bill Belichick, Super Bowl winning coach, for sure Hall of Fame first ballot. Quote, "Do your job." Tony Dungy, former NFL head coach, inducted into the Hall of Fame. Quote, "You can have an impact anywhere you are." All five of these coaches obviously are worthy of the Hall of Fame. Every few days of my life, I pull out the powerful quotes of Martin Luther King Jr. I read the quotes to myself. I keep a PowerPoint presentation that I've given to both my players when I was still coaching, and I have done at my seminar, to where I've asked a question. And the question that I ask at my seminar is, what would Martin Luther King have been as a football coach? And I believe the answer is, he would have been the greatest football coach of all time. And today, we're going to explore that. The late, great Dallas Cowboy head football coach Tom Landry, Mississippi State head football coach Mike Leach, and former Georgia Tech head football coach Paul Johnson all have one thing in common. Each one of those guys went on to become one of the top coaches in their profession at the time that they're coaching, with Mike Leach being the only one that's still coaching. But what else they had in common was that they never played the game. It's unusual that someone could become so proficient as a football coach without ever having experienced playing the game of football. But I believe that the greatest football coach of all time never had an opportunity, never took the opportunity to become a football coach. And that is Martin Luther King Jr. For many years now, I have studied his quotes and used his quotes to inspire mainly me, to help me to be a better man, to help me to be a better football coach, to help me to fight a little bit longer, to fight a little bit harder, to not quit in the middle of controversy, to not be afraid to stand alone. So today I wanted to explore some of those quotes and some of the teachings that I have done before with coaches and with players that I think every single person that listens to this podcast will get something out of. Quote number one, "We may have all come on different ships, but we're in the same boat." Teamwork. Whites, blacks, gays, straights, men, women, liberal, conservative, southerners, northerners, east coast, west coast. If you coach football, the only way that you can be successful is to make everybody understand what Dr. King was talking about. It doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter our differences. What we have to do is find common ground. And if you can teach people to find common ground, then you can have a great football team. And that's exactly what Dr. King was able to do better than anybody in the history of social sciences, in the history of this country, is to bring people together for a common cause. Number two, quote, "Lightning makes no sound until it strikes." Trash talking, pregame tough guys. Dr. King would have shut down all of the pregame trash talk and the yelling and the screaming. There's nothing worse when you walk out on the field is you got a bunch of guys that probably won't even see the field doing the most talking. The chest beating, the riling up, saying things that only do harm, that never do any good. Lightning makes no sound until it strikes. I believe that Dr. King would have put an end to all of the trash talking that takes place before a football game. Most great coaches have the ability to end that before it becomes an issue. Quote number three, An individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. Winning isn't everything. Humanity is. However, as I have told our players on numerous occasions, when you win, people tend to listen to you more. Therefore, if you can win, you can get a huge platform. There are many players and many coaches who have been huge winners and have this unbelievable platform and do nothing with it. I believe that Dr. King would come back now and he would look at LeBron James and he would say, "That's what I mean. That's why you want to win. You want to win so that with this platform, you can dramatically change and make the world better, because when you win, people will listen to you." But winning isn't everything. Humanity is. But if you want to make a difference in humanity, you got to have a platform, and people like to listen to winners much more than they do than those who do not win. So you must figure out how to win. Number 7, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. To me, this is one of the quotes that would have made Dr. King a phenomenal football coach. He understood that the scout team player, the fifth team running back, is just as important as the starter, because in football, when you have high school 30, 40, 50, 60 kids on the team, in college you have 90, 100, 120. In the NFL, with the camps beginning right now, they've got 90-something players that are out there on the team. The fifth team running back, the third team offensive lineman, the fourth team scout team quarterback is just as important as the starter, as the star. So whatever your talent is, whatever your talent ability is, whatever your talent level is, you have to understand, as Dr. King said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward. Never quit. Never think that your job is not important. That's why great coaches make the scout team player feel important. That's why great coaches praise the fifth team running back, because they understand that without him, they are nothing. Quote number 8, only in the darkness can you see the stars. Everyone can be good when everything is going their way. Who are you when you lose? Who are you when you're behind in a game? Who are you when you get demoted and lose your job? When you throw an interception? Everybody can celebrate and jump high and give high fives when everything is going their way. When you're ahead 21-0, 28-0. When you've won 6 games in a row, 7 games in a row. But who are you when you lose? Who are you when you play bad? Who are you when you throw an interception and come off the field? Are you the quarterback that goes to the sideline, sits by himself, knocks everybody away from you when they come over and try to say, "Hey, it's okay"? Are you selfish? Are you the football coach that comes in on a Monday after a loss or a Sunday after a loss and you pout and you walk around all week wanting everybody to feel bad for you because everything is about you? It's in darkness where we see the stars. Dr. King told us that. So it's in darkness, when everything goes bad, that we get to see the real you. Who will you be in darkness? Will you shine, or will you sulk and pout like a little baby? I've seen head college coaches do that. Don't be that guy. Be the next guy. Quote number 9. No one really knows why they are alive until they know what they would die for. You got to have something bigger than yourself to play for. What is your why? You got to know what your why is. The one thing that every great leader does is that he's able to inspire his troops, his players, his team, whatever organization it is that you're a leader of. You inspire them by making sure that they know what their why is. Why do you do this job? Why is it important that I compete? If I'm a football player, I have to learn to play with pain. Well, that's hard to do because it goes against what your body is telling. Your body is telling you this hurts. But if you're a football player and you can't play with pain, then you're not going to be a very good player because you're going to be hurt all the time. When you're injured and your body doesn't work, that's one thing. But when you just have pain, you have to figure out what is your why? What's bigger than you? Is it your mom and dad? Is it getting them out of the environment that they grew up in? Is it your little brother, your little sister? Is it your wife? Is it your girlfriend? Is it the fact that if you can get into college and earn a scholarship, that you can change the legacy for generations? You can be the changer of a legacy in your family for the next 100 years by being the first to get a degree, by getting into the NFL and making $5 million, $10 million, $20 million. Exposure to spread your message. If you've got something bigger than you, you know that if by winning, by being successful, if you understand that, then you can overcome pain. But you got to find something that is bigger than you. So Dr. King said, no one really knows why they are alive until they know what they would die for. You got to figure out what your why is. And again, if you can do that, you can lead young men to anything. You can lead young women to anything. Great quote by Dr. King. Number 10, no person has the right to reign on your dreams. Your dreams are your dreams. Don't be surprised, however, when other people try to steal your dream and say, are you crazy? You can't do that. There's no way in the world you're going to make it. You can't get an education. You can't get a degree. You can't get that next job if you're the coach. If you're a young receiver coach, you can't go to Baylor and be a receiver coach. You can't go to SMU and be a receiver coach. You can't be a college coach. You're nobody. You're nothing. You haven't done anything. Why do people try to steal your dreams? Because it makes them feel better that they didn't have the courage and the guts to go for their dream. So when Dr. King said no person has a right to reign on your dreams, he's talking to you. You're the only person that can secure your destiny. You're the only one that should be your own guiding star. Never allow somebody else to set the limits on you. Again, that's why Dr. King would have been a great football coach. Our lives begin to end the day that we become silent about things that matter. I read this quote every week because it makes me have the courage to speak up. It makes me have the courage to not be afraid. Cowards die 1,000 deaths. Speak, act, be brave. It's not easy. It is hard. And you will lose friends, but you don't need them. One of the greatest things in the world is getting rid of people. It's one of the best things that you can do. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. You got to know when to fight. You got to know when not to fight. That's one of the things that I read this quote about. I used to sometimes want to fight for everything. Some things aren't worth the fight. You got to know when to pick it. Same thing as a football player. You got to understand what is important, what really matters. When do you use your voice? Somebody that talks all the time, a lot of times has nothing to say, but it's sometimes the person who is silent. But then when they speak, everyone pays attention because they have something that is worth talking about. Number 12, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. As a football player, you throw 4 interceptions as a quarterback. I watched one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Tim Couch, throw 3 or 4 interceptions in the first half in a game against Indiana. Never changed his body language, never changed his confidence, didn't care if people booed him, didn't care if his teammates were upset with him, didn't care if the coaches were upset with him. only thing that mattered to him was, I'm going to go out. I'm not worried about being in controversy. I'm not worried about being challenged. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make the next play. It doesn't matter if you're booed. It doesn't matter if you're benched. For a football coach, it doesn't matter if it's a COVID season. It doesn't matter what the governor of the state says. Doesn't matter what the president of the United States says. You are going to stand up, because the ultimate measure is not where you are in times of comfort. It's not when you're being criticized. You're not going to just go along. You're not going to do just what you're told to do. If you're a real leader, it doesn't matter if you get marching orders, and the orders are going to lead people to death. Bear Bryant was ordered to abandon ship, and he didn't. He stayed on the ship. He defied the orders. The ones that did died. He stood to fight another fight. You got to know when, because the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. You can't be afraid of reprisal. You sometimes got to go against the norm. Lesson number 13. Never, never be afraid to do what's right, especially if the well-being of a person or animal is at stake. Society's punishments are small compared to the wounds we inflict on our soul when we look the other way. Fight, attack, destroy bullies. It's our destiny, or else your soul will die. When you look in the mirror, if you didn't stand up for the weak, if you didn't stand up for an animal that's being abused, if you didn't stand up for a child that's being abused, if you didn't stand up for a group of players that you stand to risk their long-term health because you were following orders, your soul will die. When you look in the mirror, the thing that looks back at you will be something that's embarrassed by you. You can lie. You can say, I did everything, but you're a liar. You understand that. So as Dr. King said, when the weak, the people that you're in control of, that you're in charge of, depend upon you, you can never be timid, or else your soul will die. Number 14, make your teammate better. Dr. King said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Not what are you doing for yourself, what are you doing for others? Make your teammate better. Be a star so that you can have a platform. If you get a platform, if you become the best in the world, if you become the best on your team, people will listen to you. That's why you want to be the best. Make your teammate better. If you've got a teammate that has a chance to be a star maker. If you're a coach, be a star maker. Why? Because when he becomes a star, if he is a good human being, and if you've trained him to be a good human being, or she to be a good human being, then when they get a platform, everyone in the world will benefit from that platform. That's why the people who get that platform, like Kobe Bryant had, and like LeBron has, is that when they use the platform for good, they're not afraid to speak. I hate the star that is afraid to speak, that won't use his voice, that says that, well, it's not up to me. You know, I shouldn't be talking about politics. Well, maybe not politics, but when it is cowards and the right of human beings, then you should be talking. Number 15, the soft-minded always fears change. He feels security in the status quo. He has an almost morbid fear of the new. For him, the greatest pain is the pain of a new idea. Tough, smart, successful humans embrace new ideas and are constantly learning and improving. When the NIL came about for college football and all the people fought it, for the last few years, there's been a smart group of college administrators, of college football coaches that have been going, oh my God, this is the equalizer. for all of my comrades out there in the coaching profession that are cheaters, liars, thieves, stealers, that have won without integrity, all of a sudden, this gives us the opportunity. I'm going to get out in front of this. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not going to bitch about it. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to gripe about it. I'm going to be on top of it. I'm going to make the lives of every player that comes through my university better because of this. That's why, again, Dr. King wasn't afraid of change. Dr. King embraced change. Tough, smart, successful humans embrace change. They're on the forefront of it. They're not timid about it. The old timid coach sits there and bitches and moans and gripes and complains. The new breed, or look at Nick Saban. He threw it out there the other day. Yeah, my quarterback has already made almost $1 million, close to $1 million. Hey, how about that? That's why he's the best, is because he embraced the change, just like Dr. King would have embraced the change. Number 17, not everybody can be famous, but everybody can be great, because greatness is determined by service. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Dr. King would have looked at social media. He would have figured out a way to use it just like his children have done. But he would have reminded everybody, don't equate service to social media followers. You can have 1 million followers and still have no service to mankind. You can change the life of one human being and be one of the greatest leaders of all time. Save one, help one, save the world. You don't have to be famous to make a dramatic difference in this world. Always remember, save one, save the world. So not everybody can be famous. You don't need to be famous. All you need to do is remember, save one. Number 18, I came to the conclusion that there is an existential moment in your life when you must decide to speak for yourself. Nobody else can speak for you. I have done this for many years to where I told our players, when you come to college, you are what your parents made you, what your friends made you, what your friends of your parents made you, what your teachers made you. That's who you are at that time. Now it's time to find your own voice. When you really, truly grow up, it is that existential moment in life that Dr. King said that you decide to speak for yourself. You get your own voice. My proudest moment as a father is when my children looked me in the eyes and told me I was wrong and said, you need to change, Dad. You're wrong. You must eventually become not who your parents are, not who your friends are, not who my athletic director is, not who my president of my school is, not who the governor of my state is, not who the president of the United States is. You must become who you are. Have your own voice with your own conscience that is really, truly you. Find your voice and use your voice. Again, can you imagine the power of Dr. King doing that with a football team? Number 19, he who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating. Abusers are everywhere. They're in government. They're in coaching. They're in teaching. They're in friendships. As a coach, as a teacher, as a player, you must be willing to see evil, fight evil, or else you will be evil. In the last year, in this country, we have gotten to witness evil. And part of us, part of you, part of people that don't speak, part of people know that it's wrong, but followed other guidelines, they got to be part of evil. It's never too late. We all make mistakes. It's never too late to see. But if you passively accept evil, then you are part of evil. So make sure, as Dr. King said, don't be passive. Never expect support or bravery of friends. Do it anyway. Dr. King said this. He said, "We will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." And that's where my philosophy today is. Never believe that people are going to join you if you take a stand. If you're doing it because you think everybody's going to say, yay, yay, you know, you're a good dude, you're a good guy. If you're doing that, then you've forgotten the most important thing that Dr. King said. We will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Don't expect people to go along with you. If you make a courageous stance, you're not going to have very many people that go with it. They'll all join in eventually when the majority jump in and they feel like it's okay, that it's okay, that it's safe. And then they'll say, I was with you all along, when in reality, you know. But that's okay. It's all right. Because Dr. King already forewarned us. He already told us. Number 21. People fail to get along because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. This is something I've always believed. I had a thing I used to teach to coaches. I said, if somebody screwed up and made me a head coach, this is what I would do. First of all, ride a different bus. Why does the offense always ride on one bus, the defense on another bus? Dr. King would have never done that. How do you expect to build a team when you separate them all the time? Defense do this, offense do that. One of the greatest high school coaches I ever knew had a day during the week. He had an offensive group, a defensive group, but one day during the week, he brought them together. And the defensive guys played offense, the offensive guys played defense. Why? Because it was teamwork. It made them understand that what they criticized wasn't so easy. So if you're a coach, have the offense and defensive guys mixed together when they travel. Have them have a different roommate. Instead of having all the defensive guys room with each other and the offensive guys room with each other, have the defense and offense do it. That's the great thing about special teams. There's offensive and defensive players on each of the special teams. Find ways. Go home with each other if you're a player. Go home with somebody and learn what their home life was like, what their culture was like, what's their mom and dad like, what do they eat, how do they cook their food. Learn about people that are different from you. Why is it that when somebody passes away, if you're not a part of their culture, that you don't learn about their culture? Learn about how they mourn. Because if you really want to understand, you've got to dive deep. And again, that's why I believe that Dr. King would have been the greatest coach to ever live. Number 22, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Can I believe this, that on August the 4th, 2021, that we're still talking about this? Can I believe that still to this day, that we've not overcome this? This next generation, this group of young people now, I get so sick of coaches that I've worked with that I listen to in their little meetings and their little private deals where they still have their comments and they talk about young people and they say that young people can't do this, young people can't do that, young people are terrible. I can't imagine what the next generation is going to be like those young people. That's such bullshit. Because the reality is young people have the greatest chance yet to eventually end racism in our society, in this country, and in other countries. The fight to end racial prejudice and institutional racism is our dream of this next generation, that what my generation did not succeed in, that this generation can. They can finish the journey that Dr. King and those that fought with him did, to where that his dream one day can come true. So, number 23, history will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. If you are one of the silent ones, if you are one of the ones that wait, is it okay for me to say anything? Or if you're a college coach, do I have to say something now? Because if I don't, the players are going to take over. It's going to hurt me in recruiting. Is that the only reason that you finally opened your mouth? Why didn't you go when white supremacists march in your community? Why don't you go and protest that? Don't wait. If you're a player, don't wait. If you're a parent, don't wait. If you're a coach, don't wait. Don't wait for it to be safe. Don't be what Dr. King said, the appalling silence of people who are otherwise good people. Sometimes good people are silent because they're afraid. Don't ever be the silent one. As we finish this up, I hope that I've raised some ideas that are no original thoughts of my own. Again, I've used this with players, and I've used this with coaches at my seminar, coaches on my staff, and 90% probably don't pay any attention to it. But in this case, probably 10% do, which is higher than most of the time where it's only 5% or 1%. But always remember this. Dr. King knew something that the rest of us eventually found out. If you have a dream and you're willing to fight and you have passion and you're willing to stand out and you're willing to be courageous, you can influence one. And that one will influence one. And that one will influence one. And then they'll come from all over the world to stand up and to fight for something that is right. And one day, everybody will act as if this is normal, when in reality, in the beginning, it was a crazy dream. So be crazy like Dr. King was and make a difference in the world forever.